Please open your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I hope you're looking forward to our week to come. Brother Emerson and his family will be with us this coming Sunday, and I'm certainly looking forward to fellowshipping with them and learning from him, and hope you are as well. What we did last week was we tried to prepare our minds for this series about discipleship by coming to know Jesus. And whenever you come to know somebody, the very first thing you do is you introduce your name. And so what we did last week was we looked at the names of Jesus and coming to know him. What we're going to do this morning is look at the negative side of it. We're going to look at taking the name of Jesus in vain. So this is our summary from last week. We should act by the authority of our anointed Savior. Whenever it tells us in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. What that verse is telling us is you do everything by the authority of the anointed Savior. Name Jesus means Yahweh saves. Christ is anointed, so we do everything by the authority of the anointed Savior. Here's my question, though, this morning. How do we take the name in vain? So if, on the positive side, we should act by the authority of our anointed Savior, from the negative side of this, how do we take the name in vain? We have to know exactly what this action constitutes for us to be able to avoid it, and then, on the opposite of that, to glorify our God together. So, of course, we're going to begin with the Ten Commandments. Whenever you saw the title to the sermon, most likely you thought immediately of the Ten Commandments. So let's begin there. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth below or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, Yahweh, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of Yahweh your God in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. You'll especially note with me verse 7. You shall not take the name of Yahweh your God in vain. Now, just remember with me from last week, the name Yahweh is the covenant name of God. It's his personal name. When God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3, Moses asked, when they ask what is your name, what shall I tell them? God responds, I am Yahweh. The term means I am. That is the name of God. Just as I am Ryan, our God is Yahweh. That's his name. But here in the midst of the commands, God makes an unusual request, and perhaps a more unusual command. You shall not take the name of Yahweh your God in vain. Now, notice the context of this. Some of the other commandments, look at verse 13. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. We have some pretty major stuff going on here in Exodus 20. Now, get the context of this with me. In Exodus 19, God comes down in fire upon Mount Sinai to demonstrate his might to Israel that they may always stand in awe of him. And in the midst of God coming down upon Mount Sinai, he gives the Ten Commandments, and he talks about some pretty morally hefty stuff. Do not murder, do not lie, do not commit adultery. But in the midst of these commands, he tells them, you shall not take the name of Yahweh your God in vain. What does this mean? What does this mean? Well, let me first tell you what I think it does not mean. We're going to go through many verses this morning that will draw this conclusion. But this is not referencing flippant use of the name. This is the application of this verse that comes up every time I've ever heard this verse mentioned. You shall not say things like, and again, I'm saying these for pure illustrative purposes. Oh my God. Oh my Lord. Oh my gosh. Lordy. OMG. That's what I would call flippant use of the Lord's name. You're just throwing it out. Oh my goodness. It's the same as, right? If you're just saying, oh my goodness, you're equating then just, oh my God, you just don't even give thought to it, right? You just don't even give thought to it. Oh my Lord, just don't even give thought to it. It just comes out of your mouth, right? We understand what flippant use is. I have various flippant uses. Oh my goodness is one. Like, oh my goodness, can't believe that happened. Rats, that's a common use of mine. It's just a flippant use. You don't have any intention behind it. That's not what this verse is talking about. Now, let me be clear. I do not think that we should flippantly use the name of God. Any of the names of God should we use flippantly. But that's not what this verse is talking about. As we are going to see, this verse, as are the other verses in the text that talk about using the name of Yahweh in vain, it is not talking about the flippant use of God. Now again, I don't think we should do it. But as I've said 1,000 times, we have to be very careful with the text that we use. We cannot proof text. We cannot make this text say what we think it should mean. We have to take it for what it actually does mean. So what does this verse actually mean? Notice the context. Immediately before this, God has given 2 warnings about idolatry. He tells them in verse 2, I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. I am the only God. I am Yahweh your God. They are about to go into the land of Canaan in the midst of dozens of pantheons of false gods. He begins his covenant with them by making the declaration, I am Yahweh your God. Then he tells them, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. They shall not make carved images of anything on heaven, on earth, or in the sea. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. What God is warning them about is you shall not make idols. Yahweh is the only living God. He is the only true God. All the other gods of this world are false. And then he gives them the explicit command, do not make any other gods. Do not make any other gods before them. Immediately then after this, he says, you shall not take the name of Yahweh your God in vain. Now, let's understand this context of idolatry. And then let's see within other Old Testament context, what does it actually mean to use the name of Yahweh in vain? Well, let's go through quite a few verses together to see what it actually does mean. Let's first of all begin in the book of Leviticus. Go with me to Leviticus 22, please. Leviticus chapter 22. This phrase of using the name of Yahweh in vain is not used many other times in Scripture. But there are references to defiling the name of God, to profaning the name of God, to making the name of God unholy, to unsanctifying the name of God. Within this context, I think we're going to understand exactly what then it means to take the name of Yahweh in vain. In Exodus 19, God had told them, do not swear falsely, lest you defile my name. Look with me at Leviticus 22, verse 2. Leviticus chapter 22, verse 2. Speak to Aaron and his sons so that they may abstain from the holy things of the people of Israel, which they dedicate to me so that they do not profane my holy name. I am Yahweh. What is he telling them here? Aaron and his sons need to abstain from the holy things of the people, which they dedicate to me, so they do not profane my holy name. I am Yahweh. Now again, notice the context. How would Aaron and his sons be profaning the name of Yahweh? Again, let's notice what they're not doing. This is not Aaron going before Yahweh in sacrifice and flippantly using God's name. That's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is if they are to follow in practices and actions that defile the law, by their very actions, they're defiling the name of God. Look with me a bit later in verse 31. Leviticus chapter 22, verse 31. So then, you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am Yahweh. And you shall not profane my holy name, that I may be sanctified among the people of Israel. I am Yahweh who sanctifies you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am Yahweh. Again, what is he warning them about? Here he is telling them, I am the only God. I shall be sanctified. I shall be set holy apart from all the false gods of the land about which you are going to enter. And you shall treat me as holy. You shall know I am holy as God. I am set apart as God. I am sanctified as God. And by your actions, you shall treat me as holy. Back up one chapter with me. Go back with me to chapter 21. Look at verse 6. 21 verse 6. They shall be holy to their God and not profane the name of their God. How are they going to profane his name? For they offer Yahweh's food offerings, the bread of their God, therefore they shall be holy. From a positive perspective, how are they to set apart the name of God? By their actions. By having sacrifices that follow according to the Levitical system, they then will treat God's name as holy. It is when you treat God as holy that your actions are holy, that then his name is holy. Within the context of Leviticus, there are three main domains in which Israelites could use God's name in vain. Number one, they could swear falsely. Number two, they could make idols. Number three, they could follow in uncleanness. Any of those, swearing falsely, idolatry, or uncleanness, would lead to using God's name, Yahweh, in vain. Go with me now to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel is going to talk explicitly about this problem and help clarify it for us just a bit. Now, for those of you in the home study this evening, I hope this text looks familiar. It should. We're going to talk about this one a lot tonight. Ezekiel 36, verse 16. Ezekiel 36, verse 16. The word of Yahweh came to me, son of man. When the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their ways before me were like the uncleanness of a woman in her menstrual impurity. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood that they had shed in the land, for the idols with which they had defiled them. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through their countries. In accordance with their ways and their deeds, I judged them. But when they came to the nations, wherever they came, notice with me, they profaned my holy name. In that the people said of them, these people are the people of Yahweh. Yet they had to go out of his land. I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. This is a bold, bold accusation that Ezekiel is making against Israel. As a nation, you have profaned Yahweh's name. How had they done so? Well, here's what Ezekiel tells them. Yahweh through Ezekiel tells them. If you look at verse 20, they came to the nations. Wherever they came, they profaned my holy name, in that the people, that's the people of the land, said of them, these are the people of Yahweh, yet they had to go out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. Here's what God is saying. I took the sons of Abraham. I took the children of Isaac. I took the sons of Jacob, the sons of Israel, and I put them in a nation. I put my name upon this nation. This is not just the children of Abraham. These are not just the children of Isaac. This is not just the nation of Israel. But these are the people of Yahweh. And God had told them, when I put you in that nation, you shall bear my name. You shall treat me as holy. In your lives, you shall treat me as holy. In your worship, you shall treat me as holy. In your actions, you shall treat me as holy. Because my very name is holy, and you shall be holy. Then all the nations shall look at my nation, and they shall see they are special. Their God is special. Yahweh is special. Yahweh is holy. But what happened? Israel fell into sin. For generation after generation after generation, Israel fell into idolatry. They fell into uncleanness. They fell into every type of wickedness imaginable. And because of that, then, Israel became unholy. And then what did the nation say? If Yahweh's people are not holy, then he must not be holy. If Yahweh's people are not special, he must not be special. If Yahweh's people are not sanctified, he must not be sanctified. And so then what you'll notice in the rest of Ezekiel 36 and into 37, God is going to pour out his spirit so that his name may again be holy. We'll talk about this tonight on Tuesday. Again, let's go now to the New Testament. Let's look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. So here's, I think, where we are so far. Throughout the entirety of the Old Testament, every use that I've ever found of either using the name of Yahweh in vain, defiling his name, profaning his name, making his name unholy, not sanctifying his name, all of it is related to action. It is because they in some way are breaking an aspect of Levitical law, they're breaking an aspect of the law of Moses, and they are no longer treating Yahweh's name as holy. In their actions, they are treating him and his law as any other law and any other god. Look at Romans 2, verse 23. Romans 2, 23. You who boast in the law dishonor God by breaking the law. For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. God's name is not just defiled, it's not just profaned, it is blasphemed among the Gentiles. Why? Because you boast in the law, but you dishonor God by breaking the law. How did they use Yahweh's name in vain? By breaking the law. Go with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We won't read it as well, but 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 1 for you taking notes. It has a very similar phrase to it. 1 Timothy 6 1 is another one where God says that slaves could dishonor their masters by treating God as unholy, defiling his name. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal, the Lord knows who are his. Let everyone who names the name of Yahweh depart from iniquity. Let me make one textual note before I explain this verse. You may have wondered why I said Yahweh there, because this is only capital L, little O, little R, little D. This is the New Testament. In the New Testament, the word for Lord is used when they use the Old Testament name Yahweh. So as you go throughout the New Testament, many of the uses of Lord, Yahweh, are signified by the New Testament Greek word Lord. So here, let everyone who names the name of Yahweh depart from iniquity. Again, if you're to name the name of Yahweh, what should you do? By your very actions, leave him. So brethren, here then is the question and here's our conclusion. What does it mean to use Yahweh's name in vain? Yahweh's name is defiled when his people act as though he is unholy. That's what it really means to use Yahweh's name in vain. It is in our actions when we treat him like any other god. In our lives when we treat his laws like any other laws. When we treat his book like any other book. When we treat his command like any other commands. When we treat his son like any other man, that is when we treat and use the name of Yahweh in vain. So then the question then becomes, what then are we to do positively? If we should not use Yahweh's name in vain, what from a positive perspective must we do? Rather than using his name in vain, we should sanctify his name. Go with me now to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. So as you're turning there again, let me summarize where we are. When God told His people at Mount Sinai, I want us to put our back there. Let's smell the smoke. Let's see the fire. Let's hear the thunder. As Israel is receiving the Ten Commandments, God has come down in fire and smoke and lightning and fire. And God is then giving them these great commandments, the Decalogue that serves as the basis for the rest of His law. And He tells them, I am Yahweh your God. You shall make no carved images. You shall have no other gods before me. And you shall not use my name Yahweh in vain. What was He telling them? It's not just flippant use. Yes, that may be an application, but that's not what the text is talking about. What He's talking about is, in your actions, you shall revere me as holy. My name signifies my authority, Yahweh says. And whenever you live by my standards, you shall live by my authority. You shall live by my law. You shall live by my system. You shall live by my standard. And then when you do that, then you'll treat me as holy. But if you don't follow my law, if you don't follow my standard, if you don't follow my commands, my name is no different from any other of the gods of the land. Because you're acting like the Gentiles, you're acting like the Canaanites, you're acting like the Philistines, and then my name is no longer holy, you've used it in vain. What does vanity mean? Vanity is like futility, right? Just useless. Using the holy, sanctified, eternal name of Yahweh in vain. You've made it futile. It's no different from any other gods of the land. Now, let's apply this to us as Christians. What then does it mean for us to use the name of Jesus in vain? Jesus is given the title Yahweh various times in New Testament Scripture. How do we take the name of Jesus Christ in vain? The name of the anointed Savior in vain? The name of the one who Jesus means Yahweh saves? The name of the one who Christ means anointed? How do we take the name of our anointed Savior in vain? When we treat Him like any other man who's ever lived. When we treat His principles like that of any other philosopher. When we treat Him not as Lord, but as a wise man. When we treat His teachings not as authoritative, but permissible. When our very lives live not according to His standard, but by our own wishes. That's how we can threateningly use the name of Jesus Christ in vain. That's what we should never do. But what rather should we do? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. 1 Peter 3:13. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Now, let me make a note. I'm going to change the ESV a little bit here because I actually like the NSAV a little bit better here. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if it should be for God's will, than for doing evil. How should we sanctify Christ? How should we sanctify Him, set Him apart as holy in our lives? Our words and our works should honor His name. That's what He's telling these people here. He's telling them, you have people who are asking you, why do you follow Christ? Why do you follow Him? Be ready to give an answer. Be ready to give a defense. Be ready to give an apologetic for the answer that is within you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. What should we do? We should honor Christ as Lord. In our actions, in our lives, in our works, and in our words, we should sanctify Christ as Lord. So what then do we do from a positive perspective, and what should we not do? Well, again, God's name is used in vain when our lives treat Him as unholy. But his name is sanctified when we live according to the standard of his word. Brethren, let us never use the name of God in vain. Let us never use the name of Yahweh in vain. Let us never use the name of Jesus Christ in vain. But let us sanctify his name. Let us treat him as Lord. And let us live as holy people. Get out your songbooks, please. So then, Emerson is going to be with us next Sunday. For 4 days, he's going to talk to us about discipleship, Christian discipleship. That means that in our lives, we're followers of Christ. Why should we follow him? Because he's the anointed Savior. He's the only one who can save us from sin. God anointed him and he sent him so that he could save us from sin. But then from the negative side, as we've come to know him, we don't need to use his name in vain. Rather, we need to treat his name as holy. We need to sanctify his name. We need to treat Jesus as holy. We need to treat God as holy. We need to treat his teachings as holy. We need to treat his standards as holy. We need to treat his word as holy. Only then will discipleship matter. It is only when we stop using his name in vain and start sanctifying his name that then discipleship is going to have any meaning at all. What a blessing it is that God sent his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Praise be to our almighty God that he sent Jesus. He sent Christ. He sent his son to be born in Bethlehem, to live in Nazareth, to preach in Galilee, and to die at Calvary so that he could be resurrected and give us eternal life. If in believing faith we go into baptism with him, we put our faith in him. We put our faith in the anointed one of God. He's going to bring us up out of sin and he's going to save us. If you need to come forward, do so while we stand and sing.